This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
Dude.
Cliffy D, we got you out before noon,
bro. I know, it's weird, right?
This is not your morning.
And not at a festival.
When does your day usually start, bro?
Usually around now.
What does a day in the life of Cliffy D look like?
Get up. First thing you gotta do, check the phone, you know, see if any good emails or something came through. Anybody on Instagram hit me up or something, you know. Go through those and then start making some music, maybe, you know. I got a studio behind my house now, so
hell yeah,
gonna start cranking them out from behind my house now. You know, I used to be over there on Demumbrian there for about a year and
a half.
Dude,
the whole vibe of in the city, bro. Like, cause you're from here, right?
Oh yeah, born and raised. Man, Hendersonville's where I'm from.
Hell yeah, we love Hendersonville.
Yeah,
bro.
I just did the little benefit for the tornado.
Yeah,
with like Struggle and like a bunch of old school people.
Yeah, Andy Gilley's a good friend of
ours.
That's
our boy, man. He's great, dude.
He's the man. I got to know Andy through our buddy Trey Bonner, and Trey and Andy would get together like once or twice a week and just have drinks together and just hang out, bro. And just such a big champion. But like the whole dynamic of the city, even in the 5.5 years that I've been here,
I love the fact that what they're doing, you know, like they're changing the city and they're keeping me involved. And that was really cool because, you know, they had like Ronnie McDowell's son and like there were some legends there, dude, like, you know, Jesse Keith. And it was pretty cool to be a part of that as a DJ, you know. And I literally grew up like two roads over from where the benefit was.
Yeah.
And they raised like $150K. Like it was a big deal for the city.
Yeah. And do you claim the unicorn title?
What do you mean? What's that?
Like being from Nashville, because there's so many of us transplants that moved down here, like myself.
I mean, I'm from Hendersonville, so it's 15, 20 minutes up the road. So I claim Nashville, but I'm from Hendersonville. But on the resume, it's always Nashville, dude. You know,
It's Middle Tennessee, but I live
in Murfreesboro now, and I still put Nashville.
Oh, you live all the way in Murfreesboro?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's kind of where I migrated to for college, and I never left.
MTSU's a spot, bro.
I went to school there for 5 years, and I never graduated.
Oh, classic. A tale as old as time.
But by like year two, I was going to school for radio.
Okay, same.
Communications radio. Yep. By my sophomore year, I was doing the 5 o'clock ride home on 102.5 The Party. So I was doing like, that's something you can't teach, man. You can't teach being an artist or being a personality. And that's when I was like, oh man, I think I'm just going to use college to promote.
Yeah.
So I just promoted the hell out of myself, man. Like, I mean, I was doing all the clubs and the radio. So I was like, when I was at school, it was more handing out flyers. Cause this is when I was in college, it's 2000 to like 2005. So I was just handing out MySpace days, guys. MySpace.
And yeah.
I was just handing out flyers, man. And I was doing cool shows back then, man. Opening up for Tiesto. And,
no shit.
Yeah. Paul Van Dyke.
Yeah, see, I was born 95. So that was my elementary school years.
I'm 41. I turned 42 this month.
Oh, really? Yeah. Birthday parties coming up. Yeah, is that
this
out in Lebanon?
This will be the 17th year in a row I've done a birthday bash.
And has it always been in Lebanon?
No. I've bounced them. Man, they've been at Tin Roof. They've been at McFadden's. I've had the Yin Yang Twins. I've had Candlebox. I love my birthday. Dude, I love them because they're so random. I've been an Afro Man. I've done Rehab. Just whoever I could afford that year is who I get. So this year, in the past 2 years, what I've done is do DJ versus drums.
Oh, dude.
Which is me and Kid. Which, you know, formerly of Upchurch, we used to be his band and stuff. And we do like a showcase of the music I've been doing in my studio. So I'll have like Mises, Brandon Hart, Kentucky Music Mafia, Carly Rogers, Sarah Ross, and they'll all come do their one or two songs that we've done together in my 2 hour show. So it's kind of like a high energy DJ drum meets a jam type.
Yeah,
thing.
It's you. It's the Cliffy D experience, if you will.
It's kind of cool.
What it is,
it's
dude.
Literally everything.
It's all over the place.
And you never know who's going to show up, man. You know, I got some special guests this year that might show up. I don't, I don't ever say who it is because sometimes they don't show up.
Yeah, dude, but that's what we do too. Like, we did an event recently. We did a takeover, nothing fancy, and we had some people possibly lined up as special guests, but we just kept special guests on the fly, and I had people come up to me at live like, bro,
who is it, man?
Who's better? I'm like, we don't have one. And they're like, oh, this is still cool, though.
Officially have one. It's just like me and Nick know that maybe somebody might show up.
Someone might just walk through the door, and we might get lucky, and they might have a few and hop up on stage with a guitar.
Like, you guys too, like, I've been lucky enough that those guys have showed up a couple times.
Yeah.
And that's what have made my events what they are, man. And it's, that's kind of cool too, because those random people that, I mean, I'm not paying them anything or anything. They're just they're helping me and my brand and stuff. So
same. It's cool you mentioned Carly Rogers and Sarah Ross.
Oh, man.
Carly was one of my first friends in town.
Well, I did a song with them together.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Carly was one of my first friends in town, and it was her and I forget the dude's name. She was with some guy at Doghouse, and I just walked in, and I started talking to her, and she was telling me that she was a nurse. She was like fucking with me. I think the kid's name was Shelton, and she was like, yeah, Shelton's an artist, but I'm just a nurse, and I got to go to the bathroom, and she had a pizza from Little Chicago. She's like, can you watch my pizza? Like, make sure nobody fucks with my pizza. And I just moved to town from New York, and I'm like, all right, I'll watch this nurse's pizza. And then she came back, and then immediately I knew who Carly was from her previous projects, from her stuff with Upchurch, from her solo stuff. And then her and I instantly hit it off. And then Sarah Ross, I had a college radio show just like you did. I came up doing the you and I, our stories are different.
I love it.
Are different because we're from Jersey and I'm from New York. You're from down here, Middle Tennessee. But our paths are similar in that we came up doing college radio, and our experiences in college weren't as much in the classroom as they were on the mic, as they were at the events in the scene at the shows. Sarah Ross is from Hamilton, New Jersey, proud Piney in South Jersey, where they grow lots of blueberries. It's the blueberry capital of the world.
Yeah, she says that all the time.
People give so much shit to New Jersey, bro. And it's like, it's the garden state because more produce comes out of the state of New Jersey. Maybe it's because you have the hubs of New York and Philly, but more produce comes out of the state of New Jersey than anywhere else in the country. And Sarah Ross is proud South Jersey. And I had her on my college radio show back in the Average Joe's days.
Bro.
I had her back when she was doing stuff with the Bandits, doing stuff with Colt.
That's what a lot of people don't know is like her longevity, man. Like she's
from American Idol, back when she was going by, I think it's Restucci. I don't know how to say that last name.
I can't even.
It's Italian as fuck. Yeah. It's like, and then she spits bars. Yeah. Like she can spit bars, and she's got a great voice. We got some
stuff coming too.
I'm excited for that.
We got more. I sent her some beats the other day, and she sent me some too. So
is that how writing with Cliffy D goes? Is like you'll come up with like a beat kind of thing
sometimes, but the best way is like when we all get together and we make them from scratch. Like we'll make them from scratch, and then they'll get to writing, and then I'll get whoever else involved, like a guitarist or whoever, you know, and we'll finish the beat while they're writing. And then, I mean, sometimes like we'll finish a song in 8 hours.
Wow. It'll just be a day, and it's just a hang. Like, it's a hang that turns into something cool.
Dude, the song I got coming out with Jesley and Colt Ford, March 15th, it was a demo that turned into a single.
No shit.
Yeah. Like it was like a demo that was so good, they were just like, let's put it out. Like, instead of let's fishing around or whatever, they were just, let's put it out. All three of us. So it's going to be featuring all three of us.
That's cool, dude. And it's cool to get to be in the artist world as a DJ, because you were kind of one of the pioneers of doing that in the country space, in the, whether you want to call it hip hop or country rap. Like, there's so many different monikers to go. What do you identify
as?
I've
been a DJ since 99.
No shit.
So, like, even, like, I mean, me and Bubba go way back, Bubba Sparks. Like,
yeah.
He was one, when I started producing, he was one of the first artists I reached out to, and he was the first one to go, yeah.
Yeah.
So he was, you know, I was booking him for my birthday bashes. He was one of the 10
before Booty, yeah. Rocket Everywhere.
Well, I mean, it was during that.
Oh, it was during that era.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, during that peak, and you know, in the early 2000s, it was, you know, I was booking Bubba, and we didn't really call it country rap back then because, I mean, I guess some people did. I mean, Colt was around. It was like Colt and Bubba. Like, I mean, there wasn't that many around in the early 2000s that were doing
because the Lax came after that, Moonshine Bandits came after that.
Moccasin Creek was kind of back Creek, in that Moccasin Creek,
bro, they were fuck. They had a moment back in the day.
Oh, geez, yeah, in Bottleneck, and you know,
yep.
I know all of them guys.
Big Snow.
I know, Bottleneck was really cool. He would always come to our Florida shows with Upchurch, and it was always good seeing Bob.
Florida's a wild place to tour, bro.
That's where we toured during pandemic.
Same with Trey, because like, I was part of all the DDID stuff with Trey.
We took we literally hit up every venue in Florida, and they all said, "Yeah, you know, of course," because they didn't really close down at all.
Yeah, Florida, Texas,
we hit up
Georgia,
a couple in Indiana.
Indiana's a very underrated state, especially for music and touring.
I
love
Indiana.
I
go there once a month, and I play this place called Buds. Or Marina Point, and it's the same owner owns both of them. But I've been going up there like 5 years.
Wow,
and, it's pretty cool, man. Every time I go there, it's 1,000 people, 1,500 people. It's a cool place, man.
Just the local watering holes are so cool. You're tapped into that world here in Tennessee, especially with Cahoots. What's the venue you work with down in Murfreesboro?
Cookville.
In Cookville, that's right.
It's called Revolver.
Okay,
I'm actually out there tonight.
No shit.
And
hell yeah.
Second. I've been going out there for 8 years. I just find my little, you know, it used to be Nashville, but Nashville's kind of, I don't know, it's a little different for me now.
That's what I was getting at before, like when we were talking about Hendersonville and like this town's changed so much, this whole area. And it's from when you started to now, you've been being a guy that's born and raised here and living 40 plus years on this earth, you've really seen this city turn into a metropolis like in Atlanta, a Charlotte.
Back when Second Avenue was both ways.
Yeah.
I'll never forget, I DJed this place called Bar Nashville. You know, my third week there, we kicked out Britney Spears. So, like, for underage drinking. I swear to God. Like, dude. And I was underage drinking, and I was the DJ.
Yeah, you just happened to be in the booth. You were good. Yeah.
She was up there in the little thing. She got kicked out. But Second Avenue was both ways. We had a wireless mic. I don't forget, because we were, like, one of the few bars that had a wireless mic.
That's a big deal back then.
Early 2000.
Yeah.
So I would stand in the middle of the road and talk on the mic and hand out flyers both ways. Yeah, like people are going both. Like,
street
hey,
team
yeah,
or
yeah,
shit.
Dude.
Yeah.
So that long ago. But it's just not the same anymore, man. I don't want to DJ for 8 hours, first of all.
No.
Those DJs get there at 9, 10 o'clock, and they're there till 3. And it's just it's not my thing anymore. You know, I'd rather go to Indiana and do 11 to 1. Show them what I got and then be done.
What's it like having a fan base?
It seems like the last
10 years. I'm sure for years being here in the Nashville, in the middle Tennessee area, you've had that. But now to be able to go to states that are
awesome,
outside.
Bro. Like I got friends in Oregon and I'll be there in May. And it, like I get these places that I go back to. You know what I mean? So it's like. Yeah, I started touring with Jelly in 2013.
No shit.
That's when I got Jelly days. That's when I got the balls to leave Nashville. I was like, I was at this place called McFadden's. Like I was the DJ and manager there for like 7 years. It was really cool, dude. I did Flava Flav and I did all kinds of crazy shit. I did Pauly D. I did Snooki. Pretty much anything that was relevant. They were like, go get them. And I would go get them and book them. And McFadden's was a really cool place to work.
Where was that at?
On Second Avenue.
Okay.
It hasn't been, it's condemned because after the bomb and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But even before that, it was condemned because the building was falling apart. And I'll never forget, dude, I took Flava Flav to the roof of that the night we had him. And we were hanging out, you know. And he told me a story. He said, man, I'm going to open up my own fried chicken place. And it's going to be called Flav's Fried Chicken, FFC. And I was like, same logo and everything. It's KFC. Years go by. I'm watching the news. Flav gets sued for opening up a place called FFC, like in Vegas or something. I was like, oh my God, he did it. Like, he did it. I thought it was just like, you know, one of those drunk moments or whatever. But, you know. No, he did it. He actually, McFadden's was cool. After McFadden's, I did Nashville Underground for a bit, and then Nashville just kind of pandemic came. Once pandemic came, I haven't played Nashville since.
Yeah, because you've been able to go out on the road and build bases in different markets. And those areas, like Nashville growing translates to Cookeville growing, translates to Lebanon growing, translates to Murfreesboro, Dixon, Clarksville, Spring Hill, all these different towns growing as well. And it's like, if you don't have to go into the city and deal with the chaos that is Nashville, you can still get a good crowd out in those small
towns.
And
that's what those club owners figured out. They're like, man, we'll get Cliffy once a month. And it's worth it. You know, dude, you go to Cahoots when I'm there.
Oh, bro, we've been there.
March 9th, I'm back on a Saturday. And then March 29th is my birthday. But the 9th, I think. Yeah, dude, there's a line around the building on Saturdays when I'm here.
I love Cahoots.
And the staff and the owner, they're like, man, we love it when you're here. And literally, I DJ an hour and a half. They do line dancing until 11. And then I do 11 to 11:45. Then they go back to line dancing. And then I come back on and do another 45 minutes.
Yeah, dude, I fucking love Cahoots.
It's a cool place, dude. Like, and that's been my home base, I guess you could say, when I got a fan base. I could just call Bill at any time and be like, hey, dude. Like, and I tell him about other stuff. I told him about midget wrestling, and now he does them once or twice a year.
The midget wrestling shit's wild.
I did the Micro Fest, you know. I made the show. The show twice, which is cool. That Jack's my guy, man. I've been booking Jack since, like, he got out of prison in 06. And, like, I'm proud to say that, dude. Like, I was one of the first people to book him when he got out of prison. I mean, his whole there was another guy running his company, and I was booking that guy, too. And then, like, when he got out, I was like, wait, what? Then they had a falling out, and I stayed with Jack, and then you see what happened, man. Like, he took it and ran with it, dude.
Yeah, and something I'm excited for, I know Nick's been once, but we've really built one of our base. Like, Live Oak's been a home base for a long time. We just started stuff over at Winners, which, by the way, Drew says hello.
Hey!
Drew's been our guy over there. Steve as well, but we've really enjoyed. We've been at Winners now for a little over a month, and Drew treats us like family. Yeah, he said to say hello. We were with him last night. Man, he's like, tell Cliff I said what's up.
He's one of the OGs, bro. Like, he was running Decades. You know, he was a bartender, and I would come DJ Sundays at Decades. And Decades was a cool bar, too. 70s, 80s, and 90s. Nothing new. And this was, like, in 2010. So, like, it was a challenge for me to learn the old music. And I think that's kind of why I am the DJ I am now, is just because I was forced kind of to learn that old stuff.
Yeah.
You had to, bro. It's like, if you wanted to work downtown, you needed to know the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Even though that wasn't my thing, now it is. You know, I mean, now it's like everything's part, you know.
You got to pivot and do whatever the market's calling for. And then our latest home, in addition to Winners that we've gotten to go into, the Rusty Nail has become a spot. Tommy and Steven and the crew over there, bro, we love the Nail. Yeah. And it's like, if Raised Rowdy was a bar, it would be the freaking Rusty Nail. Yeah. We can really do whatever in there. Tommy and Steven and the crew over there, they believe in us. Mm-hmm. And you've been able to be a part of a lot of the growing of that and the facelift that place has gotten.
The
bike nights. I've heard nothing but good things about them. I know Nick went to one of them, and he said it was freaking awesome.
Yeah, those are
seeing
cool.
You do your thing.
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of more of like a social thing. It's not really like me in a club, like, you know, getting girls on the bar and all that stuff. It's more of like a social thing, you know. I try to play clean music. Not that I always do. not gonna put that out there. I just try to. And because there's kids there, you know, it's outside, you know. But we're doing two of them this year. We're doing one at Rusty Nail the third Thursday of every month, starting in May.
Sick.
And then we're doing the first Friday of the month at Harley in Murfreesboro.
Oh, that's cool to do it at the Harley dealership.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And they're pretty cool, dude. Like, it's even at Rusty Nail, they let us rage. Like,
we're
doing
rallies
and, you know, people burning out.
When we're doing rounds, people are like, man, I might screw this up, and I'll yell out, fuck it, you're at the Nail.
Dude.
Like, if there's a place to try something new and, like, let your guard down and be you. Like, we do Rhythm and Smoke over there. We do a cigar and whiskey event, and Tommy loves that shit. That's how Tommy and I got.
Well, that's his thing, too, already. Like, he likes cigars.
They got a damn humidor behind the bar now. Yeah. Tommy's turning the Nail into a cigar bar that also has volleyball, that also has bike nights, that has us in there, has Upstar in there, has the Get get up in there. They do the micro thing as well occasionally. Like their drag shows on the weekends. Like the Nail is just, it has a little bit of everything, which
that's
is really
awesome,
cool.
Man. Shout out to Tommy, dude. Me and him been doing. He was
When did you first meet him? Because I know he's an OG as well.
In the year 2000, when I started at Bar Nashville, like we all kind of started at the same place. Bar Nashville. Bar was the place, dude. Like if that was like where all the badass bartenders worked. That's where the badass DJs worked. And I was lucky enough to, you know, I took a Tuesday and they were like, I took a Monday because Tuesdays were already hopping. Tuesdays were college night. And Bruno was like, man, we got to get you on. And the manager, Kirk Evans, was like, we got to see what you got. You know, how many people could you and Bruno bring? On a Monday, let's see Bruno, what your boy got. So I took a Monday. We did like 100, 150 people, like enough for them to be like, oh shit, we got to get Cliffy in here. You know? So, and then I started, you know, training with the other DJs like for $50 a night and a bar tab. So I was like, shit, I'm getting drunk and $50 a night and I'm learning how to DJ. Like this is great. They all took me under their wing and there I am, man. But Bar Nashville was the place, dude. That was the place that taught me.
Where was that at?
It was on 2nd Avenue, right?
Oh, you were just living on 2nd.
Yeah, I was the 2nd Avenue King for like 14 years.
No shit.
I was on the radio, so I had like the 5 o'clock ride home, man. I was on the radio. But I did 2nd Avenue, then I also did like Silverado's on Murfreesboro Road. Like there was one point in time in my life I was at a club 6 nights a week.
That's like what Nick and I are doing now. Yeah. We had the past 4 nights we've had events.
And yeah, I was like, how the hell are y'all awake?
We've been Live Oak, The Nail, Live Oak, and Winners. And Winners is the full band thing, and then the other ones are writers rounds. But we're in the bars all the time, which for me, I'm used to in the past life touring.
You
and
get
being
used
Donald
to it, bro.
And, yeah,
like, you know, like it's like you know when to get up and do your work and. When it's time to go sleep, you know?
Yeah, and then doing the podcast stuff and getting this room ready. This is our first episode in this new space. Yeah. And like it's a hustle and it's a grind. And then we're getting into festival season soon. Which
yes.
You've linked us up with the good folks from TNT, Tailgate and
Tall Boys.
And we're planning to be at 3 of them this year. We're planning to be out in Clinton with y'all.
Oh, bro, that was a good one. That was a good one last
Clinton,
year.
We're very excited about.
Shinedown.
Yep, Shinedown. Josh Ross is on there. Mm. Is Jelly on that one too?
Mm.
Or I think it's Bailey.
Yeah,
Bailey on that one.
Bailey Jelly Shinedown.
Bailey Jelly Shinedown are the headliners on that.
It's dude, I've done so many radio commercials for those. It's like
really.
Yeah, I do all the radio commercials for Tailgate nationwide. So
oh wow.
So I had to do some rock ones for Jelly and Shinedown, and I had to do some country ones for Jelly, and like so they were like kind of entertaining, you know. But looking for Michigan.
Yeah, we'll be at. I've never been to Midland, and Nick has told me the beauty of Michigan because Michigan wasn't a legal state when I first went up there because I went up there with Muscadine back in the day. We did a show in Grand Rapids. And he has told me the Michigan is a special place now because of the laws that are up there for you to get some urban there.
Michigan's great.
Yes.
they take care of you. Shout out to Country Boy Concentrates. If you ever see him up there.
All right. That's one I have to check out.
That's my buddy up there. He'll take care of you, man.
Yeah, and I hear Midland's just like obviously like Bloomington's kind of like the flagship. That's where Wayne and Austin and those guys being in Peoria.
I go up there and I'll spin at Cruisin's.
Bro. I had a time at fucking Cruisin's with Trey.
You ask anybody. Anybody's had a time at Cruisin's, especially when you run into fucking Wayne.
Oh, like, dude, Wayne takes you back into the kitchen, and then you're back there for like an hour, and then you pop out, and then they got that little like green room area, like that little side building. Yeah. They had just acquired that when I was there with Trey during the pandemic, and to see where it's at now is fucking wild. Yeah, we're excited. Clinton, Bloomington, and then Midland. And the fact that Clinton and Bloomington are back-to-back weekends, it's going to be a lot of fucking fun.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's what I did last year, man. I came straight when I saw you guys in Bloomington. I had come straight from Iowa. And that city, like, that was really cool, man. Like, the mayor, you know, the Parks and Rec guy.
Oh, the city's, like, involved in
Clinton. Yeah, dude, like, okay. I met the, you know, chief of police. And like
good guys to know.
Oh, man, they were really cool. We ended up partying and hanging out and became Facebook friends. And they're just good guys up there, man. And it was really cool to see a city embrace us like that. Like, Yeah. It just the way they did it, and it was really cool, man. And it was really cool to become friends with those guys. And now we're going back. And it's like you're going to summer camp every year. Dude. Like, I'll see you guys.
That's how Nikki and I first met. Nikki was calling during COVID because they were going to so many festivals. That's always been like the Raise Rowdy thing is like for fans, by fans. Like it started at a festival in Ohio that we go to called Country Concert with Nikki going on a bachelor party for a buddy. And now he's been going to that festival for 12 years. And now we get to help out with the camper party and like do more stuff. And during COVID, he put on like these little bootleg festivals, if you will. It was really just people hanging in like an open area and everybody chipping in and then paying some folks to come up from Nashville and whatever. But he called it Raised Rowdy Summer Camp. And that's where I got my one tattoo that I have that I know I need to add. I know Mike Stoll has a lot of work to do on me. We're going to get there. But Raised Rowdy Summer Camp. And that's like what going to festivals does feel like. Mm-hmm. Like it is like we bring our crew up, selling t-shirts, playing games with people, doing the thing, and it does feel like summer camp. And there's such a community to the festival culture, particularly with Tailgate and Tall Boys.
Yeah, like, I feel bad because I didn't see you guys as much last year.
You're fucking working, bro.
Like, yeah, I was on one stage to another.
Yeah.
2 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you know, yeah, after party. I loved it though. Like it's cool. Like I get drained, man. You know, when I come home from those, my wife's like, sometimes I won't talk for like a day or two.
Yeah, because you're talking nonstop for 96 hours.
I've had it turned on for like 2.5 weeks straight, like just talking to people, making sure that I'm in the right place. And it's a lot, you know, but it's a good lot.
What I like about that festival too is that they embrace all different styles. Like last year, you had Gravy, you had Charlie on a Friday, you had Mike, you had Nickelback, you got to see all the different things.
Oh, it's been cool. Like
and seeing that grow, how long have you been working with those guys?
This 2019 was my
okay,
first.
So you were BC before COVID.
Yeah,
with those boys.
We did Ludacris. The one year that was really cool. I got to go on after Ludacris before Sam Hunt. which is just insane when I say shit like that. It's like like this year I went on after Jelly Roll before Nickelback. It's like chill bumps like immediately, you know, like because not many people get to say that, dude. It's granted I get to do 10, 20 minutes, but it's a pretty epic 10 to 20 minutes. I got them hanging by their nutsack. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah,
I think, I'll just play sing-alongs and keep everybody happy. And it's a cool job, bro. Like, you know, and it's a I'm not the best DJ in the world, dude. Like, but those guys trust me to get up there and do the right thing and play the right thing and say the right thing.
Bro, you're a seasoned vet. Yeah. You've been doing this thing and you've been bringing the party to so many different demos, now so many different states, so many different small towns, cities, and you're part of the Nashville culture and the story of music and entertainment in Middle Tennessee. Not just music, but entertainment, bro.
That's awesome, man.
And there's a reason 100 people a day are fucking moving here because of the city being what it is and the entertainment and the bar industry wouldn't be the same without guys like you, because you were the guy doing it 20 something years ago when it wasn't good to walk down Broadway. Dude, you had to worry about walking down Broadway. Yeah. Now it's dude, the spot where people attend conferences. You've got suits coming here. You've got the wait list for people to do conferences at Opryland is like years.
Oh yeah, it's crazy how big it's gotten. You know, it's like I used to go downtown and know everybody. I'm talking, go at every single bar. I knew the manager or a bartender. Now it's like, do you know anybody here? Like, you know, like might know one person, might know the manager still or something, but like, it's big, bro. And I embrace it, dude. I'm not one that's like bitching about it too much or whatever, because that's growth, dude. That's what I'm trying to do. Like, but the city's just doing it bigger than me.
Yeah, I spent time working downtown as well. I was a door guy at Whiskey Row on Broadway my first year in town. I went from being a radio DJ on a adult contemporary station. Today's nice. Hits, yesterday's favorites.
Right.
Today's hits, yesterday's favorites. Magic 98.3. Here's Bruno Mars, you know?
Speaking of that, I'll be back on the radio starting in May in Kentucky.
No shit. All the Congrats, hits, bro.
All the hits 107.3.
That's a big deal because it is not easy to get radio gigs are different now because that whole landscape has changed. Yeah, that's something
a buddy of mine owns the station. About. Like he literally owns it, and I hit him up, and I'm kind of linking it with the club I'm doing in Indiana because it reaches up there.
Cool.
So they're going to sponsor a mix show from 10 to midnight every Saturday.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, because I moved down here wanting to be in radio because that's what I was doing. I had my college radio show called
Radio's.
It's just different.
I love it and I miss it, but it's just, it is a kind of a dying breed, bro. Like, especially if you're trying to make good money at it and stuff. Like,
yeah, because of, and a lot of it has to do with the robots.
Yeah.
The robots cut into industries all over the place. We use the robots a lot.
Yeah.
We use the robots for a lot of our processes, particularly within the podcast network. And it's like, it's great to have, but the locality of jocks, like having the local jock that's in Central New Jersey, that's in Bowling Green, Kentucky, that's in Murfreesboro, mm-hmm. Tennessee, and now it's that national thing, which I get it, and I get having to cut down on budgets and all of that stuff, but it's like you lose that local factor.
Yeah, shout out to 102.9 The Buzz, because those guys are still doing.
I fucking love The Buzz, bro. I love The Buzz.
Those guys are still, you know, when I was on the radio, I was with 102.5 The Party, and those guys were
before it went sports, because now that's 102.5 is at the game. Mm-hmm. Now it's a sports station. That's within the same company, though, right? Same building,
Cromwell.
Cromwell. And was that on Murfreesboro Pike?
Yep.
Was that? Because mm-hmm. I used to drive by that. I used to live in Antioch in that area. And I remember driving by that building and be like, maybe I should just pop in there and hit him with a demo or something. But it's such a different.
If there's any radio station you could do that, it's probably them, man. I like how they still use jocks, you know, that are there, you know.
Because you need that. And then it's how you build the community of people that are going to listen to the ads, that are going to listen, are going to come out to the events, that are going to be calling. You're going to have your prize pigs. You lose them. You bring in the nationals, the whole national stuff. You don't have your prize pigs. You don't have, for me, it was like people like Jim from Highland Park, New Jersey. And he'd be calling in. And we started having a 1099 people because they were winning so damn much on the radio. When we became Beasley Media. Because we were Greater Media New Jersey for a long time, and then we got bought out with something. But yeah, moving down here, I wanted to be on the radio, but I took that job at Whiskey Row because I had buddies that were from Jersey that moved down here, and they were songwriters that wanted that. That was the job that paid the bills and everything. Yeah. But Broadway, even now when I go down there, I still know the folks at Whiskey Row, and like I'll see some folks like the guys outside of the stage or outside of Tootsie's that I just knew from working the circuit. But it's been about 4 or 5 years now since I've worked down there. So, and it's even changed since then.
Yeah. And it's, like I said, it's not a bad change. It's just growth.
Man. Yeah, it's just growth. And there's so much turnover in those bars, too. Like, I'll see somebody. I'll see one of the girls that worked at Whiskey Row, and she'll be working over at Winners, or over at Live Oak, or over at Tin Roof. And it just bounces. It's just, and it's all, that's just the bar scene. Yeah, that's just how it's always kind of been, dude. Mm-hmm. You were talking about, like, Jelly Roll.
Yeah, my boy.
And, dude, like, to see what he's done now and to see him be like an international commodity and brand, and from where he started and the trials and tribulations that he's gone through in his life, and now the message that he gets to spread, and seeing him at Tailgate and Tall Boys Bloomington, bro, this past year, because we saw him at another festival. And the crowd at the other festival was great and an awesome crowd, about similar capacity. But the folks at TNT Bloomington last year, it was like watching a guy at a mega church give a sermon. People are hanging on to every word. Yeah. He's just so powerful and captivating.
And it was like that in Iowa.
I bet. It's going to be like that in Iowa. It's going to be like, I can't wait to see him in Midland, bro.
And the cool thing,
I feel like Midland's going to be his crowd to a T.
Well, I was with him the first time 2 years ago when he played Midland. It was awesome. Cause he's been going to Michigan, you know, like people don't really realize how long Jelly's been going around. And when I toured with him in 2013, most of the shows were packed, but there was a couple that there wasn't nobody at. You know what I mean? Like Sacramento, I'll never forget it. And he had it in his contract that if there wasn't like 50 tickets sold, we didn't have to do the show. And we didn't do that show, and I was like, damn man, how could Michigan be so packed and then Sacramento just have nothing? And then we did LA and it was packed, you know. I was like, what's the like, it's like a 3 or 4 hour drive, it's not that far. I'm like, what's, you know? But he still wasn't like doing it. I'll never forget, bro, that was my first tour to ever go on. I left Nashville, like I finally was like, all right, I gotta give up this nightclub gig to go see what the road's all about. And Jelly drove the RV.
He's one of the guys, one of the artists that was driving.
Yeah, he did a lot. I mean, he would rather drive, I guess, it seemed like. And I sat in front a lot because it was my first tour.
Jump seat is the play to go.
And, you know, he looked over at me and he said, Clifford, he calls me Clifford. I said, Clifford, why don't you ever book me, man? Because, you know, I worked at places like Bar Nashville, and which we didn't do shows. Like, it, that wasn't, we booked Flava Flav to come guest bartend and Vanilla Ice and stuff like that. Like, guest appearances. We never did shows. And I was like, man, we just, you know, my clubs don't do that, bro. Like, we just kind of get girls on the bar and party. He's like, man, that's just messed up, man. You know, y'all never booked me down there. And I'm like, yeah, I was like, yeah, I know. You know, I was like, I've known who you are the whole time. I just never, I different clubs, you know what I mean? Because this is in the early days. It was like gangster rap. You know what I mean? It's like, my clubs just don't want that, bro. The club owners are like, hell no. You know, but he said, Clifford, I'm going to start doing rock and country. And this is in 2012, 13. And I was like, all right. And I was listening to Smoking Section, like, as he was writing it, driving, you know. That was before Smoking Section was done. Like, it was in its baby stages. And he was like, what do you think about this one? You know, and he would just sing Smoking Section, which turned into a pretty big country song for him. And that was 10 years ago, you know. So, like, he's been working on it a while. And he did it, man. He deserves everything he's getting right now.
Yeah. And the give back that he get, that he does.
That's why, man. He's the guy for that role. You know, like, he's owning it. Like, and, you know, I'm sure it's not easy for him, you know, going from just a guy that did music to the guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's on top right now, man. And that's it's awesome to see, bro. Like, it's cool watching his reactions because they're fucking genuine. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, everybody's like, he just picked up Garth Brooks. I'm like, because he's fucking excited. Like,
because that's Jelly. Yeah. I remember the first time I met Jelly was at Cheekwood Golf Course.
Oh, nice.
And he was riding around, and him and Money Matt were playing in the foursome. We're playing in front of us, and Jelly had his own golf cart, and he had a bottle of tequila. He was just it was funny, BM, because that was my first interaction with him back during COVID. So yeah, to see where he's gone and all of that stuff, dude. And you've gotten to be a part of so many fucking cool things.
No, Ben, I DJ'd his after party here in Nashville, which was an experience. It was the coolest after party I've ever DJ'd, bro.
Where was that at?
Underneath Bridgestone.
Oh, in the green room?
But to get in, you had to, like, lock your phone up.
That's smart.
Yeah, it was dope.
That's very smart to do.
It was really cool. There was one dude walking around with a camera. It was cool. My wife was like, no one's going to believe this. I was like, that's the point.
That's the point.
That's the whole point.
This is rock and roll. This is throwing it back to the days when you didn't have phones, when you didn't have everything getting out there. Like, I never got to experience that. Like, I started driving in 2013. So, like, I've always had a GPS in my phone. Like, I got my first smartphone when I was 2009. That was one of my first phones. Like, my generation doesn't know the world before phones. Like,
I come from MySpace, bro. That was tough.
I was going to say.
Vanilla Ice was my top friend, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that he was really my top friend, but I had him in my top friend.
Yeah.
Because that's who I was. I swear I'll go to my MySpace still. Like,
oh, you can still log into it?
I don't remember the password, but you can go look at it. You know, like, so I'll go look at it. And, like, I'm like, man, dude, I mean, just for the memories, bro. I'm like, God, dude, I was on the radio back then. So I was doing stuff with Baby Bash. And I'm like, where the, what's another one? Just a random person that I did. And I was just, Big Black and Bam Bam from Robin Big.
Oh, you partied with Big Black?
Well, yeah, I brought him in. I paid him. I paid him to come. I'm like, oh, what do y'all cost? $3,000? Okay, come on. $3,000 for a night, and I was packed every night.
That was one of my favorite shows growing up. Robin, bro, Big.
I did him and Bam Bam. And I couldn't get Big Black to talk on the mic. I'm like, bro, you know.
He just wanted to chill?
Yeah, and then Bam Bam finally came out and talked on the mic. But yeah, it was cool. I did Pauly D, man. Like, yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy life, man.
Yeah. So, like, looking back, what's something that you would tell yourself, like, back in the day, like, for where the Cliffy D brand's at now? Like, I now guess, you're a married man. You got any kids?
No, we're trying. You know, hopefully soon.
Yeah.
We just had a nephew. Hudson.
Awesome. But to see where you, like, back in the days from, like, the bars and the grind on Second to now being someone that they know around the world. Yeah.
Because I never did. Like, they were baby steps. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like I just all of a sudden made it, you know. I knew this was what I was going to do. Like, I just didn't know how. And it took until I was, you know, late 30s, early 40s to really get it and be like, all right, dude, you got to. I started producing. That's really, I was like, what's going to get me out of the clubs but still keep me Cliffy D? And I knew all the connections, you know, and I'm not an idiot with a computer. So I hired a good audio engineer, O-Rig. Shout out to O-Rig, the DJ. And we've just been nonstop, bro. Like, I mean, we put out like 20-something singles last year.
That's insane. 20 singles is a lot of music.
With Project Pat, with Gorilla Zoe, with Colt Ford, you know, with country rap. Like, I'll do whatever, man. And I've got some EDM stuff up my sleeve.
Oh, dude, that gets the New York, New Jersey fist pump guy in me excited.
Really, you know, I still want to do what I do and create with these artists from scratch, because they'll come in with the riff and stuff, and then we just create the beat around what they're doing. Those are the best ones. Those are the most organic ones. But when I'm just sending them beats and stuff, that's cool too. But it's the organic ones, because it's them playing guitar. You know, it's not some guy they don't know. Yeah. Or whatever. Those are the best ones. But man, I would say don't give up, dude, because it's there. You just got to figure it out. And I did, you know, like from radio to everything. Like now it's just radio, tailgating, tall. It's a little bit of everything I did. But coming up, I didn't want to let go of those club gigs, dude. I was like, man, some other DJ won't come in on my Friday night. Because that was how I paid my bills and stuff. That's why I was afraid to tour and stuff. Like, dude, Bubba was one of the first artists to ever ask me to tour in like 2001 or two. And I was like, oh no, man, I can't. Bar Nashville, man, that's, you know, who's going to DJ Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? No, because it took me forever to get that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah.
And then I was afraid to leave it. And I didn't for 10 years, you know, 10, you know, till 2013, you know, or till 13. And I just afraid, dude. I was like, I didn't want to. But I would say get out of that comfort zone. Right. Because if I could go back 10 more years and start touring 10 years earlier.
Oh, dude.
I would have, you know what I mean? There's no telling. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd be like, damn, man. But I just had it in my head that I was going to retire being a radio guy. But then I was just like, you know, radio kind of fizzled out. And it's not that, like, it's just kind of the money fizzled out, dude. There was no money for what I was doing in radio. I was doing mix shows. So just hour-long DJ mix shows.
Oh, yeah, dude. Those were huge back home in New York and Jersey with, like, DJ Envy, DJ Toro. Like,
dude,
New York scene that was huge. I remember going to clubs and
I have every single one of them recorded. Every single one of them. And it was cool because that's back when I would get people to call in. And, you know, I had a little intern running the board over here, you know, like, you know, bringing in the calls and or recording the calls real quick so I could fake.
Throw them on the Vox Pro, do the little spinny thing. Yeah.
But it was great, man.
That's awesome,
but
dude.
But it's cool now because I'm doing a little radio. I'm doing a little club stuff, a little festival stuff, and studio stuff, you know. So it's awesome, man.
Yeah, you're just an entertainer.
I love
You're an entertainer. You're a personality. You're a producer, you're a composer, like being a producer. And overall, dude, you're just a good hang. Like,
bro, anytime I think you too, man. Every time I see you guys, it's like vibes. You know what I mean? Like, I look forward to seeing you guys out because it's always. I think I saw you guys on a golf cart or something last year at a gas station.
Yeah,
and I was like, why are y'all 250 yards away from the festival on a golf cart with Austin? I was like. Oh, you're getting beer. Oh, I got you. Yes. I got you.
Yeah, dude. I mean, you're just somebody that when we know the cliff's going to be there, we're like, all right, this is going to be a party.
Cool. Yeah.
And it's always a good time, and we're looking forward to really to being more involved with TNT this year.
Yeah. And I was just talking to them on the way in, and we got some announcements for Midland coming.
Hell yeah.
Very shortly. I know everybody's getting a little antsy, but we're getting to it, and it's going to be exciting, I promise.
Yeah, dude, and we're gonna have some fun. We're gonna be in the trenches together at those festivals.
Yeah, yeah.
It's gonna be. What are your, like, when you're at a festival? What are, like, your survival guide, like, tips? I know you're different now because you're talent. You're not just like
attending the festival. Yeah, it's like I can hang out in the green room.
You get to hang out in the
real
green room.
Or
you get to hang out in the green
yeah,
room.
Yeah, the real green room. And in Illinois, it's green as ever.
Oh, dude, them brownies are delicious.
Well, we had the chocolate fountain, bro.
Oh,
we had, remember?
The fact there was a infused chocolate fountain with
beautiful.
The marshmallows.
Dude,
and
the cool
crackers.
Thing was that people that didn't even partake wanted to see this green room.
Yeah, because like, there's nowhere else like it. Yeah.
Either way, they came in and hung out, and it was cool. And we're doing that again this year.
Fuck yeah.
So yeah, yeah, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome, dude. Well, anything else you wanna plug, like, that you've got coming? You said you got some music coming,
yeah,
right?
March 15th with Jess Lee, Colt Ford, and myself, produced by O'Rig. And we also got my birthday, March 29th.
We'll be there. We'll be there.
Friday.
Yeah, let me check the calendar, make sure. Because Fridays, we don't host events. And unless we're out of town for a festival, I don't think we're anywhere on the 29th. I'm going to look that up real quick. And I'm going to mark the calendar for Cliffy D birthday.
We got Mises.
Yeah, Nick is out of town, it looks like. But I will be there and I will
bring
the crew.
Man.
I'm going to say Cliffy D B-Day. I'm going to be there. We're going to bring. And anybody watching this, because this will be coming out next week, so cool. This will be out in the ether, and we're happy to do any promo to get
March 29th, man.
It's, and where's that at?
At Cahoots.
Okay, perfect. And, yeah, fucking love that place.
Brandon Hart, Sarah Ross, Carly Rogers.
Oh, Sarah and Carly will be there too. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And who else? Kentucky Music Mafia.
Oh hell yeah, I like those guys.
Who else, man? Tommy Almarode, Kid Ziggy.
Kid Ziggy.
Yeah, he just did a song with Colt that came out.
He sounds like a fun time.
Yeah, Kid Ziggy. He was at Tailgate and Tallboys last year, the Mud Park one.
Oh, the Taylorville?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which I was at that one last year.
Yeah, you do all of them, right?
Yeah. Last year, I wasn't at Midland. I was just at Taylorville.
Okay.
But this year, I'll be at Midland.
Because they're not the same. They were like the same weekend, I think, last year.
Yes, yeah. And the year before that, they were the same weekend, too. And I opened up for 3-6 Mafia at Taylorville on Friday.
What is that like?
And then we all got to boss the Tailgate and Tallboy, you know, Wayne, and we all got in a bus and went to Midland overnight, had people drive us, and literally I woke up and we did the Jelly Roll Midland one, because it was only one day 2 years ago. And so that was the first, and then we drove right back to Taylorville for the Sunday show. So it was like ping pong, like, but that was cool because I got to open up for 3-6 Mafia with my drummer. We did a 45-minute opening, you know, we were direct support for 3-6 Mafia, and that was awesome, bro, because I love, I'm from Tennessee, and I grew up literally listening to 3-6 Mafia.
To have 3-6 Mafia and Jelly Roll in the same weekend, back to back at different locations, and you got to be there for both.
Yep.
It's pretty fucking insane.
Yeah.
As a Tennessee boy.
Yeah. On the flyer for both of them, too. That, I mean, that's why I was like,
yeah,
man, this is fucking crazy, dude. Because, I mean, even still, I look at these flyers that I'm on and I'm like, this is just insane, dude. You know?
Who's somebody you haven't opened for that you want to?
Limp Bizkit. Real
oh,
quick.
Oh, dude.
Straight
dude.
Up.
Yes, we're big. We're big butt rock guys.
I'm like, you ain't got to pay me. Just let me do it. Just let me. Because he was a big part of my energy and stuff. Like, and how hype he is and stuff. And like, I loved that, you know, back in the early 2000s and stuff. And I kind of put that in my DJ shows. Like, so yeah, I'd love to. That'd be one that. Bucket list shit.
We love butt rock.
Yeah,
butt
I know.
Rock, butt rock, butt, you know where, dude, the butt rock account as it sits today is like 27,000 more followers than the actual Raised Rowdy account. The butt rock account with all the memes and stuff.
Dude, I'm working on a rock song with Justin Champagne.
Oh no, I've got Justin coming on the show in a couple weeks.
Tell him Cliffy D said what up.
Okay, I saw him at Red Door. I saw him at Red Door last night. On Tuesday night, I brought our buddy Jerry. And Jerry's like a full on cartoon character. He's a funny dude. He's our buddy Ike, who you've met, who does the video stuff for us.
Yeah.
It's Ike's roommate Jerry. And he's like from England, was born in England, but then lived in Colorado. He's And very interesting, funny dude. You know, he gets down at the 422. He's a good kid. But we walked in, and then all of a sudden, you hear Justin come up with his Cajun Kunas accent, and he's like, "What's up, man?" And Jerry's like, "Who's this guy?" I'm like, "Oh, this is Justin." And then because Justin had done some shows with us with Trey back in the day, so we got to kicking it and talking. And what he's done too is fucking wild.
Oh man.
2 years with Snoop Dogg on the road.
Yeah, dude. It's
Bridgestone with Kevin Gates.
I sent him the beat. And he said, "Man, that's right up my alley." I was like, "Yeah, I know. I've been watching you.
I've been watching. I sent it to you for a reason."
Yeah, like I literally made that beat and was like, "I got to send it to him first." And now I'm just waiting on live drums on it. But yeah, that'll be a good one. I love his sound. Like it's like what he's morphed into. It's like a country rap rock. You know
what I mean? Yeah, like, it's the little.
I'm with it because it's like a blend of all the shit.
And he's such a fucking cool cat, like such a good kid, and always been really good to us. We don't see him a whole lot because he spends his time down in Louisiana most of the time.
He built a studio behind his house too.
Yeah, dude, that's the way to do it. Yeah, man, that's like, the way. If you got the means to do it, like why not do it? Why not have the work from home and music?
It's awesome.
Yeah, he's a good kid. And I'm excited to hear his full story and have him on here kicking it. So. Dude, we appreciate the fuck out of you.
Man, like, thanks seriously, for having Cliff, me. Popping the cherry.
Dude, popping the cherry on the new space here at Raised Rowdy HQ at the City Limits Studios. Located, and I love that this building is just so awesome. We'll give you a little tour of it when we hop off here because there's like all these different like producer rooms here. There's a damn recording studio in the middle. There's like a photo room back there. Like it's such like a creative space. And the owner of the place, Mitch, reached out to me through DM because he saw me working out at Planet Fitness. I was like, "Hey, I know you don't know me, but I work, not to be weird, but like I've had this thing and I think Raised Rowdy would be cool in here." And it's been a long time coming, but to have this space and couldn't think of a better guy to do the first fucking episode.
Man, congratulations to you guys because this is I know what it's like and how hard it is to get things going and started, and
we appreciate
looking
it,
like
bro.
They look now.
Yeah, you know? Dude, and we're gonna get a bunch of shit on the walls. If you got anything you want us to send over to have some Cliffy D representation, we're more than happy to be repping. And where can people go to find you on all the socials?
At DJ Cliffy D for everything. Instagram. I'm not very active on TikTok.
I'm not either.
I'm terrible. But Instagram, Facebook, I'm very active on because that's where I get most of my like genuine followers that come to my show.
The real people are,
you know,
on Facebook.
I mean? Like, Instagram's cool and stuff. But as far as like people that actually that can come and shake their hand, it's through Facebook still, you know. And Instagram more like regionally, you know.
Yeah.
Like locally, Facebook's still my beast, dude. You know, that's how I get the people to come to cahoots.
That's how I got started, man, with college radio. I was just sending out DMs, and that's how I got lucky to have guys like Luke Combs and John Party calling to my college radio show in 2014, 2015.
Dude,
was because
great.
I was just DMing people on Facebook. Bro, that's, Messenger, I mean, that's how was getting, my tool, bro.
That's how I'm, you know, I reached out to Colt Ford, reached out to all these, some of these artists, like, through Instagram.
Yeah.
Once I got the blue check, like back when the blue check was a real thing,
back when it meant something.
Yeah. Like once I got that, everybody started taking me a little more. Like, what answer am I?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, dude. Well, y'all be sure to check out our boy Cliffy D. I'm not even sure what camera to look at right now. We got so many of them in here. It's so luxurious. But y'all be sure to check out our boy Cliffy D. DJ Cliffy D on everything. Got some new music coming out with Jess Lee and Mr. Colt Ford, the man himself. And if you're here in Middle Tennessee, even if you're not here in Middle Tennessee and you're looking for a reason to come to the Nashville area and you want to get the true local experience at a bar venue,
some line dancing,
drinks you can afford,
free beer till 11, yeah, even on my birthday night, free beer.
Oh fuck,
free bottled beer, not that shit out of, you know. Free bottled beer
on the 29th, Friday the 29th, Cliffy D birthday bash. And if you don't have your tickets yet and you're looking for a good festival to go to, the Tailgate and Tallboys Circuit, one of our favorites, will be there. Cliff will be there too. A bunch of big artists across all different genres will be there.
After parties every night.
Oh, dude, after parties every night. We'll be raging too. We're not sure what our staying arrangement is yet.
I have to be up at like 10:30 every day too. So it's after parties fucking kill me.
Bro. Oh, dude, it's a marathon, not a sprint,
like,
bro.
Sunday, I'm like, is there another DJ?
And then the drive back to Nashville.
Yeah, I think this year I'm like, I'm going to work in an extra day at the hotel just so I could
do it.
Recoup. Because, man, it's, you know, having it turned on for like 15 days in a row, dude. Like, partying, taking shots.
It kills you. It's a lot you know. For sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. A little herbal. Yeah, you
know,
for sure.
Maybe a THC infused chocolate. I don't know.
Oh, dude, the fountain will be flowing. It'll be great. Can't wait to
shout
see
out to
it.
Higher Harvest.
Higher Harvest.
They were the sponsor of that last year.
Okay, cool.
They sponsored it very well.
Harvesting it very, very high. The bar is very, very high in the green room. But y'all, for real, be sure to check out our boy Cliffy D. Be on the lookout for all the events. And thank you, of course, for watching Outside the Round with me, Matt Barrill. The new space, really cool. We're going to be getting some cool shit up on these walls real soon. And more episodes coming. Be sure to follow along. Look up Outside the Round. Give us a follow, like, subscribe, all that good shit. And for more on us, visit RaisedRowdy.com. We got the new hats in. We're going to hook you up with some merch after this. Nick's got it in his new vehicle. We got Nicky T in a new vehicle. Ooh. That can actually haul merch. So now we don't have to rent vehicles to drive in addition to my trucks. It'll be really cool. But thank you guys for watching. For my boy Cliffy D, I'm Matt Barrill. This has been Outside the Round.
Been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just